You now. My scripture reading is in 1 Peter 1 and the 22nd verse. We'll start there and go through the chapter 2, the first couple of verses. Since you have it in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful Sabbath. We thank you for the ones that's made their decision to be in your house of worship. And Heavenly Father, I'm giving praise and honor and glory to you on this day that you've set aside for worship and remembrance. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless the words that we speak, the thoughts that we express, and help them to be heard as you will. And in all these things, through Yeshua's name we ask, and amen. My text to you today is taken from those verses, and in 1 Peter 2 and 1 and 2, we read, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." These verses are letting us know some bad characteristics that is all too common to all humans. And they're letting us know that these particular characteristics need to be put off, need to be set aside, not done. And you know, the very first one says all malice. Have you ever looked up the word malice, or do you know what the word malice means? It could be associated with hate. It goes much beyond dislike. Put aside hateful things. It can be hateful words, hateful conversation, hateful responses. But put aside malice and guile, filthy talking, filthy thoughts, filthy expressions, hypocrisies, saying things and doing things that are just the opposite of what we claim to be, and we claim to portray as followers of Yahweh, as Christian people? Hypocrisies. Let's put that, grow out of that. And envies. Who is it among us that can say with all truthfulness, I don't ever envy? And if you examine yourself real, real closely in every little thing that you do, can we be assured that that is true? The envies and evil speakings. Boy, sometimes that can be hard because sometimes people grow up with what we would call an evil mouth or a filthy mouth. Or they learn cuss words, as some would express it. And they're not shy at all about speaking these words about every sentence that comes out their mouth. And sometimes there's within a sentence 4 or 5 of these words that would be much better not to even know, much less to express openly. Evil speakings. Of course, I guess we could include in there saying things against God or against Yeshua, against the better way. And if we took in the agenda of today's world, they would probably put us in that category whenever we speak evil of the things that this Word of God says are evil. But they would put us in there as speaking evil when we would speak evil of those things that is very clear in God's Word. He doesn't want His people to do those things. He don't want us to be involved. He wants us to separate ourselves from what we could just loosely call as the world. Because the world is following those things. The world is saying, this is common, this is usual, there's nothing unusual about this, so you ought to just accept it as being the norm. That's what they want to tell you. Hollywood wants you to believe that. California wants you to believe that as a general kind of a statement for what we view as being commonplace in that area of the country. But I want you to know that there's a God above, there is a Yahweh that expects you to abide by His word regardless of what the world says and does, and regardless if it puts you in the minority, regardless if it puts you in the area that people would ridicule for your beliefs, regardless of that, if Yahweh says that is an abomination, that is evil, that's part of the world, separate yourself from that, then we should do what Yahweh says, regardless of the outcome. Regardless if our government even promotes and goes along with that kind of behavior. If it's contrary to this Word of God, we need to reject it. And furthermore, we need to stand up when we have the opportunity or the situation presents itself. We need to let others know that there's no way we would accept certain behaviors that have become commonplace in today's world. The title of my message to you today is Spiritual Growth Enemies. Spiritual Growth Enemies. The words of the text that I read to you imply that the laying aside of harmful attitudes and evil actions is part of what promotes spiritual growth. Spiritual growth, like all other growth, no matter whether we're talking about birds or animals, growth isn't always easy. Spiritual growth is not always easy. And I would say it's not intended to be easy. And our text likens it to the rebirth. The word says you must be born again. And as babes in Christ, as babes in the Word and in the work, then we have to grow. Each day should be a day that we find ourselves growing, that we grow more like Yeshua, more like Yahweh, and less like the world, and less like that the world would have us to believe should be accepted as ordinary and commonplace. But spiritual growth is not always easy. And we should recognize for sure that there are enemies to our spiritual growth. And the first one of that, of those enemies of spiritual growth, is an evil nature within. All of us have it. None of us probably here wants it. But we're humans. And we have it. Same thing as Adam and Eve being brought into this world, and they wasn't here that long, and they started going against what they were instructed by Yahweh as the do's and don'ts, His commands. They started letting it slip. They started forgetting those things, or just simply setting them aside. Maybe not even forgetting them. Maybe just not wanting to remember, like the world today. And they sin, Adam and Eve. An evil nature within has to be resisted. And Paul discusses that there is a struggle between our inner nature or our flesh, there's a struggle between that at all times going on. Between our inner nature or flesh and the Holy Spirit of God that we accept into our hearts and lives at that time of our rebirth. We say yes to Yahweh's gift of the Holy Spirit coming to abide within us, living within us and guiding and comforting us each moment of our life, each moment of each day, helping us in everything as we remember to call upon Him for that help. And Paul seems to be saying that it's only through Yahweh and Yeshua, only through the plan that we can resist this evil nature within. And Paul describes this evil nature within and says that we should be not like that. We should have a nature that results in fruit coming forth to be useful to God, to bring others into the family. And he describes this fruit as the indwelling spirit of love. We need more love, no matter how much we got. We need more because God gives love and God is love. We need more love. Also, we need more joy. We need more peace. We need more long-suffering, more gentleness, more goodness, more kindness. We need more faith. We need more meekness. And we need temperance or modesty or moderate living. The opposite of extremes. That's what we need to be growing toward. An evil nature within is one of the enemies of spiritual growth. And another is the evil world about us is an enemy. Have you ever seen much of anything in what we would call the world, being that the majority of the people of the world want, and how they live and how they talk and where they go and what their reactions are, what their wants and desires are? That is the world. And an enemy to us is the opposite of those people and what they want and what they desire and what is normal, perhaps, to a lot of them. There is virtually nothing in the natural world that can be conducive to spiritual growth. It usually runs directly opposite. And then thirdly, the next enemy of spiritual growth is the one and only devil, Satan. And he does work. He is in this world today. It's not make-believe. He exists just like heaven exists. He exists just like hell exists. And he is an enemy of our spiritual growth, and he has to be resisted. Does the word not say to us, resist the devil, and he will flee from you? I take that as a promise. If you're caught in a situation where you need to resist something, then that's a promise. If I can bring myself to resist it and even rebuke the devil to get away from me, then I have the promise that he will flee by the help of Yahweh and the Holy Spirit within me, that he will flee. When you say those words to him, and when you take that thought and that action with that intent, he will get away from you. Try it. If you haven't ever tried it, try it. I believe this word of God, and I rely on it. And it ought to lead us and guide us in whatever we're involved in. Whatever life brings to us, then we need to believe the word, and we need to believe it so much that we allow it to guide our lives, to guide what we do and what we say. And the next enemy of spiritual growth is our natural tendency to neglect, postpone, and avoid struggles. Our natural tendency, I just want to not confront this. I just want to get off and have a little peace and quiet. You know, there's times in which we find ourselves thinking those kind of thoughts. But when it comes to doing right and to resisting the devil and to standing up for what we believe, then we don't need to neglect to be a witness to others, to tell them that life is going to be problems, but there's help to be had. And that help is in Yahweh and Yeshua and the Holy Spirit and the guides that they give for us to help us each moment of each day. There's help available. But too often, even Christian people don't think enough to think those thoughts, to think what they have learned in God's Word about resisting the devil, about living the life, about being an example to the world. When our opportunity arises, somehow the devil blocks it or gets in our way or distracts us or whatever, and we suddenly find ourselves trying to fight our own battle, trying to struggle with our own thoughts and our own ways and our own reactions, when the Bible, the Holy Word of God, has the answer to every conflict and every problem and circumstance. And we need to believe it. We need to think about it. Let it come to our mind when we're faced with problems, that there are answers, and we need to seek those that God has given us the answer for. We don't need to allow our natural tendency to rule in the areas of neglecting what we need to be thinking of at the particular moment in time. We don't need to procrastinate or put off that which God has for us to do. We need to go ahead and do it now when we have the situation and circumstance. And we don't need to run away from some of the things that initially strikes us as problems or struggles or some overwhelming something that we think we can't do anything about anyway. So we seek the easy way out. We avoid the struggle. And instead, we need to confront it with God's Word, with the answers that are in God's Word. You know, in order to grow physically, you have to exercise. You have to have a proper diet. To grow mentally, you have to study. You have to go perhaps to school. You have to learn. And so it is with our spiritual growth. Nothing comes easy. This spiritual growth, spiritual living, was not intended to be a bed of roses. God wants us to be the kind of example and to do the kind of things that would help others and would help lead them into the path that leads to Him. And ultimately, allow us to be the kind of example that they would see God through us and want to be in His family, because they would see there's something good to be had there. I want what they have. I want to be able to control myself like they do. I want to be able to have the right kind of speech and not saying a cuss word every other word. What good is that? And all of that, God has. God wants you to be the better person. He wants you to live that better way and take that higher road. That's how He wants you to be, all of us. So we don't need to neglect, postpone, avoid struggles. We need to confront them. We need to react to them in a way that would promote the right reaction to Yahweh. And next and finally, the last enemy that I have to talk to you about is the poor example of others can be an enemy to our growth. What about the word in the inspired Word of God and the thoughts that are expressed by set your mind and your eyes on Yeshua? Let Him be your example. Let Him be the ones that your eyes are focused on and your thoughts are focused on, the way He lived His life as a one and only perfect example of a human on this earth. He did no sin. He is our example. Whatever He did and say, that's the way we should be. If He didn't do or say anything, then we have to live our life by that same kind of judgment. What did He do? What did He not do? What did He say? What did He never say in regard to whatever the issue is of right and wrong, of the spiritual walk? He is our example. We make a fatal mistake by setting our trust and our eyes on humans that we somehow in our mind, either by television or however, they get set in our mind as high examples to follow. And sometimes that can easily mislead us. And we need to let that inspired Word of God showing us the right way, the righteous way to live, showing us Yeshua, the only begotten Son of the Father, and the way He lived and what He did and what He said, what He never did, what He never said. We need to allow that and that only to lead us and guide us in our spiritual growth. There's many enemies to spiritual growth, but we should be assured by the Holy Word of God that none of these enemies can come between us and God. that none of these enemies are so powerful that they can't be defeated with our walk with Yahweh and by doing the things that He said His way. We must sincerely desire the milk of the Word and determine to walk in the light provided by Him who is the light of the world. I'd like to ask if you all would stand with me. And I'd like to wish all of you a great and tremendous Shabbat Shalom. May the joy and peace of Yahweh be on you this day and provide you an overflowing blessing, which is promised by Him to us as we worship Him on His day of rest and in the ways that we know please Him. And I guess with us not having the computer, we need to go to our Bibles and read, or if you have a good enough memory, let's read the blessing of God to us. And this is in Numbers 6 and starting at 24. So let's read this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Amen. They're wonderful words. Really enjoy.